today as we come to the table.
So this whole picture of whatever this economic system is being definitely connected to the demonic realm. He says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, that is unfaithfulness to God. It's called fornication in Scripture. So they've drunk of the wine of this wrath. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And again, this could just be committing fornication with the world system and or the connection to the church in that region, the Catholic Church over the centuries. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.
Have you ever been accused of something or have people assumed things about you because of where you live? All too often, where you live or work can influence the way people see you. You may be able to convince them otherwise through actions, but many times you have to leave that place. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how engaging in the sins of where you live or work will result in you being punished along with everyone else. You can avoid the punishment by leaving the place and turning your back on the habits and temptations that came along with being there. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 18 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Revelation 18. Remember last week in 17, we covered Revelation, spiritual Babylon, and we talked about the one world religion that is going to be in the last days. There'll probably be other religions, okay? Don't think of it as just one religion. It's going to be an overriding religion, overseeing probably multiple religions. And so you're going to see a worldwide religion led by a worldwide religious leader with different religions coming underneath that, or at least joining and saying, you know what, we all serve the same God. Why don't we just get along? And again, remember, this is a picture of ancient Rome. And that's exactly what was going on. The Bible says there's going to be a revived Roman Empire in the last days. It's happening right now in Europe. And what that means is if you look back at how the religion was back in that day, everyone had to worship Caesar. There was one main guy. You had to worship Caesar. And you would pinch this incense at this altar and place it on the altar. And they had officials there from Rome who would give you this piece of paper that said, all right, you did it. You pinched the incense to Caesar. And now you can live as a Roman citizen, you know, without harassment and being a full obeying of the law citizen. But then if you did that, you could go and you could worship something else. And you could have another religion if you wanted, as long as everyone agreed that Caesar was Lord. The same thing will be true in the last days. There's going to be this one worldwide religion with probably different, probably still have some form of Hinduism and Buddhism and all these other isms that are in there after the rapture of the church. And because there really is only one model of that that we see currently, that could change. It would mean a long time before the Lord came back, and I think he's coming back soon, so I don't expect that to change. I personally believe, and I don't say this to be offensive, I say this in humility, but I believe the teaching of the word bears this out. I believe this to be some form of the Roman Catholic Church that will be heading up the one worldwide religion. And I think the other religions will be linked in with that. And so we talked about that last week. Now we're getting into economic Babylon, still speaking about Babylon, but now we're going to be looking today at this city, some city that he describes that is really the center of the economic system in the last days. And we're going to see the judgment on this economic center of Babylon, if you will. There's a picture type of Babylon, but also this mystery Babylon that's tied with this. And this is where it gets interesting because it's hard to nail down exactly what's going on. I'll try my best to nail down what we do know. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now what we do know. We do know there's going to be some world center of the economy. That we know clearly. And so all world economy will be based out of that central location. There will be some type of world currency. that will be basically controlled by a mark you take either on your hand or your forehead. You won't be able to buy or sell without it. You know, it's interesting. You get these new credit cards that have the chip in them. I'm sure some of you guys already have those. I have one. And what happens is they're designing everything now, the technology and the price. They haven't been able to switch everything over, but they're designing things now to where it won't work without the chip. If I go, I think it's to Walmart now, and I want to use that card, I can't swipe that card. I have to put it in there and wait for it to do its little song and dance. And literally, it will not let me buy anything without the chip. And when you think about that for a minute, it gets kind of freaky. It's like, well, it's not in my hand or my forehead. And yes, you can still use other credit cards. And yes, you can still use cash. But it's the first thing I remember that just says, I won't let you purchase anything unless you use this chip with this particular card. And the goal is to make all cards that way and all machinery that way because of theft. Identity theft, financial theft and fraud, they're trying to get to that. Matter of fact, they're working on the gas pumps and the new systems there and all these different things where what will happen is if you don't have a card that has a chip in it, you won't be able to buy gas. And all these kind of things, you know, you'll be able to use cash until that's done. The point is the society is switching over to that exactly as the Bible said it would happen. Remember, it says the Antichrist at some point will make everyone small and great, take a mark on their hand or their forehead, and without that chip in their hand or their forehead, it doesn't call it a chip, whatever it is he makes them take, this mark, which probably will be some type of computer chip we now know from technology. If you don't have that, you can't buy or sell. And literally, that's how the machinery is being set up. You won't be able to buy or sell without that chip, whether it's on a card right now, but later on it'll actually be in your hands. Okay, that's what we do know. Now we get to Revelation 18. I want to tell you that the two different main viewpoints that are out there, then I'm going to tell you another one that I find intriguing that may be a possibility, and I'll let you know when it's, you know, one of Mark's things. Because I don't want to be guilty before the Lord of teaching anything that's not found clearly in the Word. There are two main understandings of economic Babylon. Well, really maybe almost three. Some see it as a worldwide system, which it will be, but they kind of leave it there. Okay? The problem is, we're going to see he refers to it as a city. So it is a specific location. So I can't go with just the worldwide system alone. It narrows down more for me when he starts talking about a specific city. That's one understanding of the world economic system. The second one is some people say that this is America. And because we're the world power financially, or were, that's kind of fading quickly, isn't it? I don't know how much longer they can even say that this is America. But because of America's financial prowess in this generation and the one before, and really since, you know, a long time, they say, this is America, and so we're the ones that are corrupting everyone, and America's going to be destroyed, and we see America here in chapter 18. And there are some, you know, prophecy guys that have written books and people that believe that and make a stand. I have problems with that one as well. And the reason I have problems with that one, God says he's judging this mystery Babylon for murdering the prophets and the saints. And although America has not been real friendly lately to the church, America is not guilty of killing prophets and saints. We've never done that. So I have to reject the idea that this is America. The other one is that this is some city somewhere, and some believe that it's literal Babylon rebuilt. And they believe that Babylon's going to be rebuilt, and it'll be the world economic system. I have some problems, although that may not be impossible, and that is the only way that that would be possible would be for the Antichrist to decide to take literally billions and probably trillions of dollars when he takes over the world economy and immediately just dump trillions of dollars into that region and rebuild this ancient Babylon in order to make it a world capital of commerce. Because it not only has to be rebuilt if it's literal Babylon, it has to be made a world capital of commerce. And we're going to see that the nations of the world get rich by this particular Babylon that's going to be judged here. So is it possible? Yeah. It's possible. Now, at first I thought, no, that's impossible because it would take years and years to build it. Then there'd be more and more years for it to make the nations of the world rich. But if the Antichrist were to pour trillions of dollars, billions or trillions into it, and then hire out all the work from all over the world and pay billions and trillions out to all the people of the world, then there's a possibility it could fulfill what this scripture is talking about. So I leave that open as a possibility. Babylon could literally be rebuilt, but it would have to happen in a certain way and rapidly once the world leader got into power over that 7-year period. I definitely agree that it is some center of a worldwide economic system then. And I think that a third possibility could be that this is Rome itself as the revived Roman Empire. And within Rome, also, I find it very interesting that there is a city inside of Rome that is considered its own nation and its own sovereign city. And that is what is known as Vatican City. Now, I'm not saying this is Vatican City. I don't know for sure that it's Rome. I don't know for sure that it's ancient Babylon. But to be honest with you, neither does any commentator you're going to read. So, ha, ha, ha. I told you what we do know, didn't I? It's a world economic center, and the world's going to be rich from it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we know that. Now, this is a little bit of Mark here, and I want to tell you that. As we read through this, you can take all of these viewpoints and go with it how you will, but I want to give you some other facts about Vatican City and Vatican before we get, because I do believe there's a connection to the Roman Catholic Church in the spiritual Babylon, and it continues on. If you look, it says, Mystery Babylon the Great in chapter 17, verse 5, the mother of harlots, and then in chapter 18, verse 2, it says, Babylon the Great is fallen. And it's speaking about the economic Babylon. So we see both of these called Babylon. And so there seems to be some type of link here that the Holy Spirit is showing. And we'll have to leave it up to him as to what that exact link is. But I will say this. I want to give you some facts maybe you didn't understand. Because as we get into Mystery of Babylon, we're going to see that it made the people of the world rich over time. It was guilty of destroying the prophets and the saints and putting them to death. It was a place of marriage and celebration and beauty, a place of riches and luxury. And when you look at the history of Vatican City and the rule that Vatican, that the Roman Church has around the world, there's some things you need to know. Number one, many people don't realize that the Roman Catholic Church is the richest and wealthiest entity on planet Earth. You might have known that. Maybe you didn't. Now you do. They are the richest entity in land ownings around the world, in finances around the world, In riches, pearls, diamonds, luxury, crowns, everything, the robes, the garments. They're the richest entity on the planet. I think it's either 2010 or 2012, they spent something like $760 billion around the world. A lot of that was the priest scandal, and in all honesty, you know, when I get the full facts out there, resolving a lot of those. But you can see the amount of money that comes out of this particular entity. So when you think about the world becoming rich from something, you don't think about the Catholic Church necessarily, but when you think that it's the richest entity in the world, they had to buy the land from somebody. They had to buy all the jewels and garments from someone. They had to buy all the things they have somewhere, and now they're the richest entity on the planet, and they've made a lot of other people rich by their purchases. Secondly, in Roman Catholic history, they have murdered and put to death many prophets and saints. That's those with teaching prophecy, so to speak, and then many of the saints. The Dark Ages, we know that. They've killed many, many Christians, and that's part of the ugly history of the church in general, so just part of it. So that fits with it. We do know that Vatican City is a city. We do know that they live there in luxury, and wherever this is, it lives in luxury. So again, I'm not saying this is Vatican City. I'm saying as we read through this, I want you to know of the different interpretations. Just a world economic system, possibly Babylon the Great rebuilt, and I'm kind of throwing you a curveball on the possible chance that, you know, maybe it's even Vatican City the Lord is talking about with this connection to Mystery of Babylon the Great with some of those facts. Let's jump into it. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and is a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now remember in Scripture, birds represent birds, but what else? They're literally birds when they are birds. What do they represent? The demonic realm. That's right. Jesus, remember when he gave the parable of throw some seeds on the wayside, the birds of the air come and take it away, and he told, when he gave the interpretation, he said, that's the demons, the demonic realm coming and pulling the seed out of the heart and all that. So we see the birds identified in Scripture, and he talks here about demonic spirits and every hated bird. He's not talking about literal birds here. He's talking about the demonic realm, and he even gives a picture in the Old Testament of this particular Babylon economic system as something that's thrown into this lead container with a lead top on it, which is a type of judgment, a medal of judgment in Scripture, and two women with stork's wings carry it away. Again, a stork is an unclean bird. So this whole picture of whatever this economic system is being definitely connected to the demonic realm. He says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That is unfaithfulness to God. It's called fornication in Scripture. So they've drunk of the wine of this wrath. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And again, this could just be committing fornication with the world system and or the connection to the church in that region, the Catholic Church over the centuries. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Now again, the problem I have with this being a worldwide economic system is how do you come out of that? You can't come out of a worldwide economic system. And he's telling his people here, come out. I want to make this clear. Last week, as we kind of got to this tough part about, you know, having to mention what I believe the Bible teaches here about the Roman Catholic Church, there I do believe, and I think maybe I said this last week, there are people in the Roman Catholic Church who know the Lord. I'm not saying there aren't believers there. There are a lot of believers, I believe. But I think they don't know the word, and they don't understand what's going on in many ways. And here we see whoever this is, the Lord's saying it's time to come out. It's time to break those ties. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Now again, could be whatever city this is, Rome, or both Rome and Vatican City connected together, or literal Babylon rebuilt. Whatever she's saying, she says, I sit as a queen. And I find this interesting because the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he will take his queen, his bride, he's the king, and he will take his bride to himself. And now we're going to see the Antichrist married to his queen, this earthly system that is demonically infested. And so the whole picture here of the Antichrist mocking the true thing that God gives. And again, there are some connections to false religion in that. Therefore, her plagues, he says in verse 8, come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Now remember, it says when the Antichrist is through with this false religious system, what is he going to do with her? He's going to turn on her and destroy her and burn her with fire. We saw that in Revelation 17. And now we see whoever this great city is in 18 being burned with fire. Could this be the Antichrist turning on the worldwide religious church of that day and attacking the headquarters? Only time will tell. Could it be just Babylon itself being destroyed by God by some other means? Absolutely. And this is where I said we can't nail this one down for sure, other than this worldwide, this city that's controlling worldwide economies will be destroyed. He says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So this city will be destroyed. They'll see the smoke burning. Again, it's kind of hard to be the worldwide economic system solely if you can stand back and look at it and see it burning, because it would be all around you. It'd be the whole world system. So again, either a literal Babylon or maybe, like I said, one of the other choices we've talked about. But they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city. So again, God identifies it not as a nation, which again to me excludes America, but he identifies it as a city. For in 1 hour your judgment has come. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. You know, I mean, if once you're destroyed, you can't buy anything else. And so those that are selling to whoever this is, they won't be able to, you know, sell anymore. Now look at the merchandise that has been purchased from this city, whatever it happens to be. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and I find this one especially interesting, and the bodies and souls of men. What in the world, how is it that you could buy from this city? He's saying whoever's buying from the city, they're buying the bodies and souls of men. There's a couple of possibilities. If it is, for example, a rebuilt ancient Babylon or rebuilt Rome, it could be human trafficking, child slave labor. There could be all kinds of ways that possibly you could see the buying of bodies and souls. But bodies and souls, I find interesting. One of the practices of the Catholic Church used to be what they called the indulgences, so you could, again, pay in advance for your sins, but also you could buy, you could give the church money and buy the souls of your family out of purgatory. They believe that if you died and weren't quite good enough, you were going to go to heaven, but you had to suffer some for a while first, you know, kind of like God's pre-torture chamber, kind of like the foyer, you know, welcome to heaven, stay here and suffer a while, we'll let you in later. That's really what purgatory was. Place where you went, you had to pay for your what you did wrong before you actually got to come into the real kingdom. But if you went and gave them money and paid for your family to get out early, you could literally purchase the souls of men and buy them out of purgatory into heaven. Just interesting. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'll leave that between you and the Lord. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. So you're done with your pomp and circumstance. The merchants of these things who became rich by her shall stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, these beautiful garments that had beautiful colors, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. By the way, if you're putting your hope in riches, you're making a huge mistake. The riches of the world are going to come to nothing in a moment of time. Just done. Doesn't mean you don't need to be wise in your investments. You know, you live as if Jesus is coming back today, but you plan as if he's not coming back for 100 years. Because it's foolish not to plan for your future. The Bible says that. But you don't put your hope in riches. You put your hope in Jesus. And so, in 1 hour, I mean, after all this, it's gone. Every shipmaster and all who traveled by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Now again, I have a little difficulty here because again, it would appear that these ships are close enough to be on the water and see the city and probably deliver their goods to the city. You can't do that in Babylon. Now there is the Tigris and the Euphrates near the region of Babylon. Small ships could possibly deliver things, but this would appear to almost be kind of a shipyard type of delivery system. And they're looking at it going, whatever city this was, we can't get to. It's destroyed now. And we're watching, you know, from the waters going, who do we sell our goods to? How do we get in, you know, to Rome, or to Babylon, or to wherever this is? And again, this is definitely somewhere in the Middle East, because look at verse 19. At least that are Middle Easterners are obviously weeping and wailing its destruction. Now, this could lead a little bit more toward the true resurrection of Babylon theory, this next verse. Because notice what he says, they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. We don't throw dust on our heads here. And they don't throw dust on their heads in Europe. In the Middle East, when they're really, really distraught, guess what they do? They throw dust in the air in certain parts of the Middle East. They throw dust up in the air and on their heads. And so we see definitely a connection here to the Middle East in the tradition here and what's happening.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is coming to an end. Speaking of endings, we're in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. The events mentioned in this book can be somewhat frightening for those who don't know God. But for those who have put their trust in him, there's much to look forward to. The end of Revelation brings so much hope and joy as God makes things right and ushers in a time with him that will have no ending. It's hard to imagine, right? Sometimes our finite minds just can't fathom what eternity will be like with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for what he has in store. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, you can come be part of what's going on at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used this community of believers in our community and through his radio outreach. Keep in mind that there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m., Saturday night at 6 p.m., or Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's okay. Join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app. that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. As we come to a close today, know that we care about you, we pray for you, and we look forward to you joining us for another edition here. May the things that you've been learning in the book of Revelation really stick with you, connecting you to the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.